Water gives life. But in the Caribbean, it's not always there when you need it. A heavy downpour today could turn into a 3-week drought tomorrow. And when you're growing your own food, that matters. A lot. In this episode, we explore how to make every drop count, from setting up rain catchment systems to timing your watering just right. Whether you're gardening in buckets on a balcony or cultivating a full backyard bed, understanding how to store, conserve, and deliver water wisely can turn a struggling crop into a thriving harvest. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. Why Water Management Matters for Caribbean Gardens. Water isn't just a garden input, it's your most valuable tool. And in the Caribbean, it's often unpredictable. One week brings heavy showers. The next is hot, dry, and still. Learning how to manage water well can mean the difference between a thriving homestead and one that fails. This chapter explains why water is such a key part of the Caribbean homesteading journey, and how small changes in how you collect and use it can have a major impact. 1. Rain patterns across the Caribbean. In most Caribbean islands, the weather follows two general seasons. Wet season, often made in November. Rain can fall in heavy bursts, especially during hurricanes or tropical storms. Dry season, December to April. Rain is rare, and plants may suffer without consistent moisture. Depending on your island, altitude, and proximity to the coast, your rainfall levels can shift dramatically. That's why water management must be local, flexible, and prepared. 2. Why municipal water isn't always enough. Some rural areas don't have steady water supply. In cities, water pressure may drop in dry months. Water bills can be high, especially if you're using hose pipes daily. Chlorinated or treated water may affect soil microbes and compost health. Using rainwater or stored natural sources protects your plants and reduces your cost. 3. Plants need more than you think. Most vegetables need 1 to 1.5 inches of water per week, depending on temperature and wind. But it's not just about and dry, but it comes with risks. Leaves stay wet overnight, increasing fungal growth and mildew. Soil stays cooler and wetter for longer, which can attract pests or cause root rot. If you must water at night, keep water low at the base of plants. Avoid overhead sprinkling. 4. Stick to a consistent routine. Plants thrive on consistency. Create a rhythm that fits your environment. For example, during dry spells, water deeply every 2-3 days. During rainy season, skip watering if the soil is already moist. In containers, check daily, especially during hot weeks. A consistent routine helps plants adapt and build strong roots. 5. Time your watering to match plant. Needs certain stages of growth require more precise watering. Seedlings need light, frequent watering. Keep the topsoil moist, not soaked. Vegetative growth. Deep watering 2-3 times a week supports root development, flowering or fruiting. Water regularly, but avoid waterlogging. Fruits can split or rot. Watch each crop and adjust based on its life cycle stage. 6. Adjust for wind and humidity. In coastal or hilltop areas, wind dries soil faster. On humid islands, evaporation is slower. Water more often if leaves are drying or curling despite early watering. Topsoil is dusty again just hours after watering. Wind is steady or gusty throughout the day. Use mulch to slow evaporation and protect surface moisture. 7. Use timers or alarms to stay on track. If you're forgetful or have a busy schedule, set daily or weekly reminders. Use a simple alarm on your phone. Write it in your garden journal or planner. Place a sticky note on your watering can or barrel. Watering is easy to overlook, but your garden will show the results in just days. 8. Let rain do the work, but be ready. If rain is forecast, pause watering. Let nature do the job. But after heavy rain, check that water isn't pooling around plant roots. Clear leaves or debris from drainage areas. use this time to check soil condition and plan your next watering cycle. Being reactive to nature makes you a smarter gardener. 9. Keep track of patterns. Notice how your garden responds on days when you water early versus late, you skip a day versus water lightly, it rains at night versus mid-morning. These small details help you. Refine your timing over time. Key takeaway: timing is everything. By watering early, consistently, and according to the needs of your plants and climate, you maximize every drop. You'll waste less, grow more, and develop a deeper connection to your garden's rhythm. Chapter 7: How to Make Soil Hold More Water Naturally. If you find yourself watering every day and your soil dries out quickly, you don't have a water problem. You have a soil structure problem. Good soil should act like a sponge, holding onto moisture and releasing it slowly to plant roots over time. In this chapter, we'll cover how to improve your soil so it holds water longer, reduces runoff, and helps your plants survive during heat or drought. 1. Understand what makes soil hold water. Healthy soil has three main qualities: organic matter, like compost or leaf mulch, which acts like a sponge; good structure, loosely packed particles allow water to move and settle evenly; microbial life, fungi and bacteria that help break down matter and bind soil particles. If your soil is too sandy, water drains too fast. If it's too compacted, water runs off. The goal is a balanced, open structure. 2. Add organic compost regularly. Compost is the best water-retaining material you can add to your soil. Benefits: increases moisture retention, improves soil structure, encourages healthy root growth, feeds beneficial microbes. How to apply? Mix 2 to 3 inches of compost into your topsoil before planting top dress existing beds every 4-6 weeks. Use kitchen scraps, banana peels, shredded paper, or market waste to make your own compost pile. Over time, compost builds deep resilience into your soil. 3. Use coconut coir and other water-holding additives. Coconut coir is a natural, lightweight fiber made from coconut husk. It absorbs water quickly and releases it slowly. How to use it? Mix with compost at a 1:1 ratio for raised beds or containers. Helps loosen clay-heavy soil and slow drainage in sandy soil. Other options include leaf mold, partially decomposed leaves, vermiculite or perlite, lightweight minerals that retain moisture. Choose what's affordable and available in your region. 4. Avoid tilling. Too often, tilling or turning soil breaks up natural structure and dries out moisture pockets. Instead, loosen soil gently with a broad fork or hand tool. Let plant roots and worms do the digging. Only disturb where you need to plant. Less disruption leads to more water retention over time. 5. Apply mulch the right way. We covered mulch before, but here's how it helps water specifically. Slows surface evaporation, keeps soil temperature stable, encourages worms and microbial life below. Use local mulch like dry banana leaves, shredded sugarcane bagasse, coconut husk, chips, dried grass or weeds. Keep mulch 2 to 3 inches thick and pull it back just before watering to let water soak in directly. 6. Build soil basins and swales. Shape your land to catch water, not lose it. Basins: small bowls around plants that hold water in place. Swales: shallow trenches that follow the land's contour and guide water to where it's needed. These techniques are especially helpful on sloped land or in dry areas where runoff is a problem. 7. Let your soil rest. Soil needs breaks too. If you're not planting a section, cover it. Options: plant a cover crop like cowpea, pigeon pea, or sun hemp. Use a tarp, cardboard, or leaf layer to suppress weeds and protect moisture. Resting your soil builds fertility and water retention naturally over time. 8. Grow root systems that work for you. The more roots in your soil, the more stable and moist it becomes. Interplant fast-growing leafy greens with slow-growing root vegetables. Use companion planting to shade soil and reduce water stress. Avoid bare patches. Roots keep the structure alive. Let your plants become part of the solution. 9. Track soil moisture over time. Pay attention to how long your soil stays moist after watering or rainfall. Ask, does it dry out in one day? Does mulch keep the surface cool? Do plants wilt quickly? Make notes and adjust compost, mulch, or watering habits based on what you learn. Key takeaway: you don't need to water more. You need your soil to hold what you give it. By building better soil with compost, mulch, structure, and rest, you create a garden that survives dry weeks without stress. Your soil becomes your reservoir. Chapter 8. Creating a personalized watering schedule. A good watering schedule does two things. It reduces guesswork and it supports your garden's rhythm. By planning when, where, and how to water, you save time, avoid waste, and build a habit that your plants can rely on. In this chapter, you'll learn how to create a simple, flexible watering routine based on your climate, garden layout, and crop types, whether you're on a balcony in Montego Bay or managing a full backyard bed in Dominica. 1. Know your climate and rainfall patterns. Start with what nature gives you. Ask, do I live in a dry or wet zone? When is my local rainy season? How many dry days in a row do I usually experience? If you're in a dry coastal area, plan for more frequent, deeper watering. If you're inland or in the mountains with cooler air, you can stretch watering days longer. 2. Group plants by water. Needs your watering schedule will be more efficient if you organize plants into zones. Zone 1, high water needs, lettuce, pak choi, tomatoes, cucumbers. Zone 2, medium water needs, peppers, beans, herbs like basil. Zone 3, low water needs, thyme, rosemary, okra, sweet potato water. Each zone on a different schedule depending on their needs. 3. Choose your watering days. Create a basic weekly plan. Monday, Thursday, deep watering for Zone 1. Tuesday, your Friday, moderate watering for Zone 2. Saturday, light top-up for Zone 3, if needed. Sunday, observation day. Check soil. Adjust as needed. Adjust based on rain. If there's a heavy downpour, skip the next watering. 4. Choose your time of day. Always water early in the morning between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. This reduces evaporation, allows plants to absorb moisture fully, and prevents fungal growth overnight. Only water in the evening if it's been an extremely dry, hot day and plants are visibly wilting. 5. Set up reminders or use a chart. Make your schedule visible. Use a garden journal or dry erase board near your tools. Print a laminated calendar with watering days marked. Set phone reminders if you're busy or just starting out. Over time, this schedule will become second nature. 6. Adjust for containers versus ground beds containers, and raised beds dry out faster than ground plots. Water containers every 1 to 2 days in dry weeks. Raised beds might need water every 2-3 days. In-ground beds, with good mulch and compost, might last 3 to 5 days between waterings. Group containers, together for easier watering and shade. 7. Use rainwater when available. On watering days, prioritize collected rainwater first. It's better for your plants and cheaper for you. If your storage is limited, use rainwater for Zone 1 crops that need it most, and save tap water for lower priority zones. 8. Include maintenance days. 1 day a week, set time aside to check barrel water levels, clean watering cans or buckets, scrub screens on rain catchment systems, look for leaks or clogged drip systems. A little upkeep saves a lot of hassle later. 9. Track and tweak weekly. Every week, ask yourself, did any plants wilt unexpectedly? Was I watering too often or not enough? Did any zones dry out too fast? Make notes. Every garden is different. You'll refine your routine based on real experience, and your garden will thank you. Key takeaway: a personalized watering schedule keeps your garden consistent and healthy. By planning around your local climate, plant needs, and garden layout, you reduce stress, save water, and grow with confidence. Chapter 9. making your garden truly drought-resilient. No matter where you live in the Caribbean, drought is not a matter of if, but when. A resilient garden isn't just about surviving the dry season. It's about thriving through it with less stress, fewer losses, and more confidence. This final chapter gives you simple, lasting strategies to drought-proof your homestead, no matter your budget, experience, or garden size. 1. Grow drought-tolerant crops. Some plants naturally withstand heat and water scarcity better than others. Focus part of your garden on these. Okra, deep roots and thick stems hold moisture. Callaloo, quick grower, tolerant to heat sweet potato. Spreads wide and stabilizes soil peppers. Can tolerate dry spells if established thyme and rosemary. Mediterranean herbs made for dry conditions. These crops can anchor your garden when more sensitive plants fail. 2. Build deep soil over time. The deeper and richer your soil, the more water it can store. Every season, aim to add compost or aged manure. Use mulch generously. Avoid soil compaction by walking on paths, not beds. This makes your soil a sponge instead of a sieve. 3. Plant densely, but smartly dense planting creates natural shade over your soil, reducing evaporation. Use leafy greens like pak choi to cover the base of taller crops. Plant in staggered rows to reduce open gaps. Use interplanting to shade soil between slower-growing plants. This reduces water use across your garden without sacrificing yield. 4. Set up emergency water storage. Drought is unpredictable. Don't get caught off guard. Create an emergency backup. One large covered barrel dedicated to dry season use, a low-cost pond liner or dug-in tub to store overflow, a container filled during heavy rains, left untouched until truly needed, label it, and resist using it during regular watering. 5. Recycle and reuse. Every drop treat water as a closed loop. Catch water from washing vegetables or rice. Rinse water from dishes, no soap, can be used on non-edibles like ornamentals. Set up a bucket in your shower to catch preheated water before it runs. It's surprising how much water we waste without thinking. 6. Shade. Your soil and roots. During drought, plant roots need protection. Use banana leaves, burlap sacks, or shade netting over young seedlings. Use palm fronds to shield high sun areas. Install temporary structures using bamboo and rope. A shaded garden holds moisture longer and reduces heat stress on your crops. 7. Observe and adapt, not react. Resilience starts with awareness. Check your soil before watering, not just by sight, but by feel. Watch how different crops respond to stress. Adjust your watering, planting, or shading strategies weekly. The most drought-proof garden is the one that learns as it grows. 8. Harvest rain. Like it's gold, every drop matters. If you can, expand your rain catchment capacity. Add extra barrels or containers. Redirect overflow from one barrel to another. Fix leaks immediately. A short, heavy shower can provide a week's worth of water, if you're ready. 9. Teach others and build a community. Resilience grows when shared. Show your neighbors how you set up your catchment. Swap drought-tolerant seeds or cuttings. Build a local WhatsApp group to track rain patterns or give early warnings. Drought is easier to handle when you're not doing it alone. Final takeaway. You can't control the weather, but you can control how prepared you are for it. A drought-resilient garden doesn't happen overnight. It's built through intentional planting, wise watering, and a deep respect for the land beneath your feet. With these practices, you're not just watering plants. You're building a system that endures. Now that you've made it through the Water is Wisdom Guide, take a moment to look back. You've learned how to collect, conserve, and maximize water in every corner of your homestead. In the next episode, we go from water to waste and explore how composting can transform your leftovers into power. Stay tuned. How much you give, it's how you give it. Shallow, frequent watering leads to weak roots. Deep, infrequent watering encourages roots to grow downward, strengthening your plants. If your soil dries out an inch below the surface within hours, you're losing moisture too fast. 4. The problem with surface runoff. When it rains heavily, your garden can lose most of its water within minutes. That's called surface runoff, and it wastes both water and topsoil. To prevent it, use mulch to slow water evaporation. Shape your beds with slight dips to capture rain. Add compost to improve soil texture, so water sinks in instead of running off. 5. Water is scarce, but collectible. Even in dry areas, you can collect hundreds of gallons per year if you're smart. A single 10-foot by 10-foot roof can catch over 600 gallons in a 1-inch rainstorm. In later chapters, you'll learn how to set up a rain catchment system, filter water safely for garden use, store it without attracting mosquitoes. 6. Emotional connection. Water as rhythm. Watering isn't just a chore, it's a connection. It forces you to slow down. You notice how the soil smells, how leaves respond, how plants perk up. It's the daily moment when you check in with your land. Good gardeners don't just water plants. They read the soil, the sky, and the season. Over time, your instincts grow. 7. The goal of smart watering. Your goal is not to water more. It's to use less, but better. That means collecting rain when it falls, storing it safely, watering deep and early in the day, building soil that retains moisture, training plants to develop strong root systems. With these strategies, you'll survive dry spells and thrive in rainy seasons. Key takeaway: water is wisdom. It's your garden's most powerful resource and the most often wasted. By learning how to work with water, not against it, you prepare your homestead for anything nature throws your way. Chapter 2. How to start collecting rainwater. If you live in the Caribbean, rain is one of your most reliable and underused resources. Whether you get a passing shower or a full tropical downpour, you can capture that water and store it for later. This chapter walks you through how to start a simple, effective rain catchment system. No matter your budget or space, there's a solution that works. 1. What is rain catchment? Rain catchment means collecting and storing rainfall that lands on your roof or outdoor surfaces. Instead of letting water run into the ground or drains, you redirect it into a container for later use, especially helpful during dry spells. Even a small roof surface can yield hundreds of gallons per year. 2. The basic setup. You need 4 key components. Catchment surface, usually a metal or tile roof. Gutters or channels. Direct rainwater from the roof to a container. Downspout filter. A simple screen or mesh to block leaves and debris. Storage container. A barrel, drum, bucket, or tank. Optional. A first flush diverter to discard dirty water from the first few minutes of rainfall. 3. Choosing your collection. Surface roofs made of galvanized metal or clay tiles are ideal. Avoid asphalt shingles with chemical coatings if possible. Even small sheds or awnings can work. If you don't have gutters installed, you can use PVC pipe or bamboo, cut in half lengthwise as a makeshift channel. 4. DIY gutter installation. If you don't have one, use PVC pipe, bamboo, or repurposed plastic. Mount it with wire, rope, or brackets at a slight downward angle toward your storage bin. Seal joints with silicone or waterproof tape to prevent leaks. A funnel or cut plastic bottle can be added at the end to guide water directly into your barrel or bucket. 5. Low-cost storage containers. Start simple. 55-gallon food-grade plastic barrels, clean and sealed. Repurposed paint buckets or oil drums, thoroughly cleaned. Large trash cans with lids. Always use a tight-fitting lid or mesh cover to prevent mosquito breeding. 6. Where to place your barrel? Directly beneath the downspout or water funnel, on level ground or a small concrete slab. Raised slightly on bricks or blocks for gravity-fed watering. Makes it easier to fill a watering can. Make sure your container is stable. Water is heavy. A full 55-gallon barrel weighs over 450 pounds. 7. Filtering the water. optional but recommended. Before the water enters your barrel, place a metal mesh screen over the entry hole to block large debris. Add a first flush diverter if your roof gets dusty or has bird droppings. For cleaner water, install a layer of gravel, sand, and charcoal in a small box before the barrel intake. Remember, water collected for gardens doesn't need to be drinking clean, but fewer contaminants mean healthier plants and fewer clogs in your watering tools. 8. Safe storage tips. Keep barrels shaded to reduce algae growth. Check for leaks once a month. Empty and scrub containers every few months with vinegar or mild bleach. Rinse thoroughly. Always cover open water surfaces to avoid mosquitoes and animal contamination. 9. Estimating your water potential. Use this formula. Roof area, SQFT, x rainfall, inches, x 0.623. Cursed gallons collected. Example, a 100 SQFT roof in a 1-inch rain can collect about 62 gallons. Multiply that by a full season, and you'll see how much water is falling freely and going unused, if not captured. Key takeaway, you don't need a fancy system to start harvesting rain. With a few recycled materials and the right positioning, you can collect enough water to support your garden year-round, saving money and building resilience. Chapter 3, How to Conserve Water in the Garden. Once you've started collecting rainwater, the next step is learning how to stretch it. In the Caribbean, where dry spells can come without warning, water conservation isn't optional. It's essential. This chapter shows you how to reduce waste, hold moisture in your soil longer, and help your plants thrive with less. 1. Understand where water gets lost. Most home gardens lose water through evaporation, when the sun pulls moisture from soil before plants can use it. Runoff, when water flows over the surface instead of sinking in. Overwatering, when more is applied than the roots can absorb. Solving these issues is key to smart conservation. 2. Use mulch to lock in moisture. Mulch is one of the simplest and most effective tools for water saving. What to use? Dry banana leaves, coconut husk fiberglass clippings, dried sugarcane trash, shredded paper or cardboard, no colored ink. How to apply? Spread 2 to 3 inches thick around your plants. Keep mulch a few inches away from stems to avoid rot. Replace or top up every 3 to 4 weeks. Mulch shades the soil, reduces evaporation, and slows weed growth. 3. Water at the right time. Timing makes a big difference. Best time: early morning before the sun is high. Avoid midday, evaporation is highest. And evening can invite mold or fungus. Watering in the morning allows plants to absorb moisture before heat stress begins. 4. Practice deep watering. Instead of watering a little every day, water deeply a few times per week. Water slowly at the base of each plant, allowing moisture to reach the root zone. Use a watering can with a narrow spout for control. Wait until soil is dry 1 inch below the surface before watering again. This encourages roots to grow deeper and makes plants more drought resistant. 5. Use drip bottles or gravity systems. DIY drip irrigation can stretch your water and save you time. How to make a drip bottle? Take a clean plastic bottle. Poke 2 to 3 small holes near the base. Fill with water and bury halfway near plant roots. Refill as needed. You can also connect multiple bottles to a larger container using tubes for a basic gravity-fed drip system. 6. Group plants by water needs. Some plants are thirstier than others. High water needs: lettuce, cucumber, tomatoes, pak choi. Low water needs: thyme, rosemary, okra, peppers. Plant similar crops together so you can water them efficiently, instead of wasting water on plants that don't need it. 7. Improve soil to hold more water. The better your soil, the more water it can hold. Mix in compost regularly. Compost holds moisture like a sponge. Add coconut coir or vermiculite to improve structure. Avoid tilling too often. It breaks down soil structure and causes faster drying. Good soil ehikes natural water storage. 8. Use shade strategically. Protect delicate plants from harsh midday sun. using old bedsheets or burlap tied between bamboo stakes, coconut fronds, shade netting if available. Even temporary shade during dry spells reduces evaporation and plant stress. 9. Reuse gray water. When safe, you can reuse water from washing vegetables, rice, or fruits. Just make sure it has no soap, bleach, or chemicals. Pour it around plants, not directly on leaves, and always rotate where you use it to avoid salt buildup. Key takeaway: you don't need endless water to grow strong plants. By conserving what you have through mulch, deep watering, soil care, and timing, you build a system that's smart, sustainable, and resilient. In dry times, it could make the difference between a thriving garden and a failed one. Chapter 4. Building your own DIY, water-saving tools. You don't need fancy equipment or expensive kits to water your garden wisely. With a little creativity and a few basic supplies, you can build simple tools that save water, reduce effort, and help your plants grow stronger. This chapter focuses on low-cost, homemade solutions designed for Caribbean climates, where sun is hot, rain is unpredictable, and every drop counts. 1. DIY drip irrigation with plastic bottles. This is one of the easiest and most effective water-saving tools you can make. What you need: one or more clean plastic bottles, one lighter or 2-liter size, a nail or needle, a knife or scissors. Steps: poke 2-4 tiny holes near the bottom of the bottle, on one side. Cut off the bottom of the bottle, but save the piece as a lid. Bury the bottle upside down near your plant, holes facing the roots. Fill with water and cover with the cut plastic base to reduce evaporation. Water will slowly seep into the soil right where it's needed. 2. Create a bucket-to-drip system for multiple plants. If you have a larger garden, you can make a gravity-fed system using a bucket and tubing. What you need: a clean 5-gallon bucket with a lid, thin plastic tubing or aquarium hose, a small spigot or on-off valve, rubber seal, or waterproof tape. Steps: drill a small hole near the base of the bucket. Insert the tubing and seal around the hole to prevent leaks. Run tubing along the garden row and poke small holes near each plant. Use the spigot to control flow. This system waters several plants at once, perfect for mornings when you're short on time. 3. Use clay pots or tin cans as in-ground reservoirs. Buried containers provide deep watering over time. Method 1. Clay pots. Use unglazed clay pots or ceramic cups with a hole in the bottom. Bury them next to plants with the rim slightly above ground. Fill with water. The porous surface slowly releases moisture. Method 2. Tin can reservoir. Take an empty tin can and punch small holes in the bottom. Bury it near your plant. Fill with water. Acts as a small water bank for deep roots. Both options reduce surface evaporation and target the water where it counts. 4. Build a simple rainwater diverter from PVC pipe. You can guide rainwater from your roof into a barrel using this easy PVC trick. What you need: 2 to 3 feet of PVC pipe, 2-inch or 3-inch diameter, one elbow joint and one T-joint, a mesh screen to block leaves, zip ties or wire steps. Install the PVC pipe vertically to your roof gutter downspout. Use the T-joint at the bottom to split water. One end to the ground, one to your rain barrel. Attach a mesh screen at the top. Use the elbow joint to direct flow into your barrel. During the first few minutes of rain, divert the water to the ground to flush out dirt, then switch to fill your barrel. 5. Reuse household watering containers. Instead of buying watering cans, try a large juice bottle with holes poked in the cap, an old cooking pot with a spout, a bucket and cup system. As long as you can control the flow, it works. 6. Set up a shade watering combo. Use shade cloth or banana leaves to protect young seedlings from heat and reduce watering needs. Try this. Build a small frame using bamboo or sticks. Drape the shade cloth or natural material loosely. Water plants in the early morning. Shade helps the soil hold moisture all day. This is especially helpful for lettuce, pak choi, and herbs. 7. Don't let water sit in the wrong places. Make sure water goes into your soil, not down your path. Create small trenches around thirsty plants. Shape beds with slight basin dips to catch water. Use bricks or coconut husks to block water escape routes. Direct water where it matters most. Key takeaway: water-saving tools don't have to be expensive. They just have to be smart. Whether it's a plastic bottle drip line or a gravity-fed bucket, every homemade tool adds resilience to your garden. Chapter 5: How to Know When Your Plants Need Water. Watering isn't just about routine, it's about observation. Knowing when to water is just as important as how to water. If you water too much, roots rot; too little, and your plants wilt and stop producing. This chapter will teach you how to read your garden, like a living system, and respond at the right time. 1. Use the soil finger test. This is the easiest and most reliable method. Insert your index finger 1 to 2 inches into the soil, near the base of the plant. If the soil feels dry at that depth, it's time to water. If it's still cool or damp, wait another day. For container gardens, check more frequently. Buckets and pots dry out faster than garden beds. 2. Learn the visual signs of thirsty plants. Plants send clear signals when they're stressed from lack of water, drooping or curling leaves, not just at night but mid-morning. Leaf color fading, from rich green to pale or yellow green. Dry leaf edges, crisping or browning along the tips. Soil pulling away from the sides of the container or bed. These are all signs the roots aren't getting enough moisture. 3. Know your crop's natural behavior. Some plants look wilted in the afternoon, even when they're healthy. Others show signs of thirst early in the day. Here are a few tips. Tomatoes and okra wilt slightly in midday sun, but recover by sunset. Don't be fooled. Pak choi, lettuce, herbs wilt early and stay limp without enough water. Act fast. Peppers lose firmness in leaves and stems when water is low. Check soil immediately. Learning each plant's natural rhythm helps you avoid overwatering. 4. Watch for flower or fruit drop. If a plant starts producing flowers or young fruits, then suddenly drops them, water stress is often the cause. Tomatoes and peppers are especially sensitive. Consistent watering, not too much, not too little, is key during flowering and fruiting. 5. Use a moisture meter, optional tool. If you want more precision, buy a basic soil moisture meter. Insert the probe 2 to 4 inches deep. Look for readings in the middle range. Moist, not dry or wet. Use this especially for raised beds or deep containers, where the top may look dry but lower soil is still wet. This tool is helpful, but it shouldn't replace daily observation. 6. Learn the weight of your pots. If you're container gardening, pick up the pot when it's dry. Then do the same when it's just been watered. Over time, you'll learn to judge soil moisture just by feel and weight. Especially helpful during dry spells, when soil dries out from below first. 7. Check early in the morning. The best time to inspect your plants is early morning, before the heat kicks in. If leaves are already limp or the soil is dry at sunrise, it's time to water. If plants perked up overnight and the soil is still moist, hold off. Morning is also the best time to water, since the soil can absorb moisture before the sun evaporates it. 8. Consider microclimates in your yard. Some spots in your yard may need water more often. Sunny zones with no shade. Windy corners where moisture evaporates faster. Containers or shallow beds that drain quickly mark these areas, so you can monitor them more closely. 9. Keep a watering log, optional. A simple notebook or calendar can help track patterns. Which days you watered, how the plants responded to rainfall or dry spells. This helps you adjust your strategy and prevents over or under watering. Key takeaway: watering isn't a guessing game, it's a skill. When you learn how to read the soil, observe your plants, and follow their cues, you become a more intuitive, confident gardener. Trust what you see, feel, and learn each day. Chapter 6: Timing Your Watering Sessions for Maximum Impact. watering isn't just about how much or how often. It's also about when. The timing of your watering routine can dramatically affect how well your plants absorb moisture, how much water you waste, and how strong your garden grows. In this chapter, we focus on how to sync your watering schedule with the rhythms of the sun, soil, and plant life. 1. The best time of day to water. Early morning. The most effective time to water your garden is early in the morning, ideally between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. Why? The air is cooler, so less water evaporates. Soil can absorb moisture slowly and deeply. Leaves have time to dry before nightfall, reducing disease risk. Plants are hydrated before the day's heat stress begins. Morning watering sets your plants up for success. 2. Avoid watering in the middle of the day. Between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., the sun is usually at its highest and strongest. Why this is a problem? Water evaporates quickly before it reaches deep roots. Leaf surfaces can scorch if wet under intense sunlight. You'll use more water and get fewer results. Only water at midday in an emergency, like when seedlings are wilting and rain isn't expected. 3. Why evening watering should be used with caution. Watering in the late evening, after sunset, can be helpful if the day was too hot,